Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's time to have some fun and answer some questions for the younger set. It is Kids Open Forum. Is that what we call it? Is that the right name? Kids Open Forum, Darren? Darren's like, call it whatever you want. Just get kids to call. 888-318-7884 is the number. And answering questions for kids this hour is the Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers, the author of many things, including Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines, Tim Staples. How are you?
I am doing great, man. And excited about this hour.
Yes. Now, have we done this together before? Like, have you answered kids' questions?
No, I have not. This is a first for me. I was here when we did it over Christmas. I brought my kids to try to stump Trent.
That's right. I think one of them might have. I think there was right. One where it's like, I don't know if Trent's going to make it. But a part of Trent's problem, I think, was he was looking at you while he's giving the answers. Like, do I still work here? Like, it might be intimidating for him to have you there while he's answering faith questions from your children. Right. That was a fun day, though.
That really was.
A whole bunch of kids from Catholic Answers came in. Nick's newest baby didn't come in, but why was that, Nick, that your newest baby didn't come? Oh, because the baby's not born yet.
That's right.
So had to be at work with mom or wherever mom was at the time.
One thing we learned once again is kids say the darndest things.
Once again, the old theory is proved true. 888-318-7884 is the number. If you're of a young age, get permission first before you call. Make sure mom or dad knows you're calling. If you're a little more mature, you know, I don't know if you have permission. If you're 15, 16, you have permission, you can go ahead and call 888-318-7884. We're going to give away some books today, and I don't know which one you're going to get. So if you're thinking about calling, Marie will let you know which book you're going to get. Or you might just know when it shows up. We've got Saintly Rhymes for Modern Times by Megan Bausch. She wrote it and she illustrated it. It's from Our Sunday Visitor. That's one of the books we're able to give you if you're a caller today. The Miracle of Saint Nicholas by Gloria Whalen, illustrated by Judith Brown. And that is from Bethlehem Books and Ignatius Press together. It's such a good book. It took two publishers to publish it. And then we have this I read. Well, I read in, let's say, before the show, The Illustrated Acts of the Apostles for Children from Magnificat and Ignatius Press.
Great.
The Illustrated Acts of the Apostles. I feel like the grown-up Acts of the Apostles should have pictures and maps and everything. I don't know who are all these people?
That's right.
So this is really good. Yeah.
I want to get that for my kids, man.
Do you?
That's great. I don't think we
have
that.
Well, one of them is going to have to call today. We're not just giving them away because you're Tim Staples'
kid. All right, do you hear that? Rose, Luke, Timmy, call.
Somebody dial 888-318-7884.
Catherine, call.
but not Mary. Is Mary allowed to call? She's not allowed to dial the phone yet.
Mary's two, so
yeah.
Actually, Mary will be two in 2 days.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
That's our number seven, our youngest.
Wow. Isn't that great? Because that reminds me that when I first came here 2 years ago on January 18th,
yes,
you weren't around very much at first there. Now I remember that.
Yes.
Well, let's start. Are you ready to take calls?
I am looking forward to this.
You ready to be stumped by five-year-olds?
Let's do it.
Okay. Mary Christine in Bowie, Maryland, you're first. Are you there with us, Mary Christine?
Yes.
And how old are you, Mary Christine?
Five.
You are five. We're so happy that you called. What is your question that you would like Tim to answer?
When Jesus grew up, he'd go to Mass.
Did he go to Mass?
Oh, did Jesus go to Mass? When he was five, like Mary Christine was.
Yes. Well, Mary, that is a great question. And actually, Jesus instituted the Mass on Holy Thursday when he said the first Mass. And at the same time, he ordained the apostles as priests so that they could then go out and say the Mass. So when Jesus was a little boy, the church and the Mass had not been instituted yet. However, what we do know is that Jesus went to synagogue and he went to the temple because that would be kind of the equivalent of Mass for the people of God before Jesus instituted the Catholic Church. And here's an interesting little tidbit. If you look in your Bible at Luke chapter 4, verse 16, this is a very famous text, Mary, where Jesus stood up in the synagogue and he opened the scroll. He was one of the readers, kind of like when we have readers at the Mass. Jesus unrolled the scroll, and he read from Isaiah 61, which was the reading, and that reading was about him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and so forth. And then he said to the people in the synagogue, this day, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, he declared he was the Messiah, and that's when he began, you know, his ministry to go out and proclaim the truth and then to establish the church. But here's the cool point, is verse 16 says he went into the synagogue as was his custom.
That tells us something about
that's
him.
That's right.
Huh?
He regularly went to the synagogue, and we know that when he was born, Mary and Joseph took him to the temple as well. So we know that Jesus went to temple and he went to the synagogue as a good Jew before the Catholic Church was instituted, and then he instituted the Mass, he said the first Mass, and now for 2,000 years, we don't go to the temple anymore. In fact, the temple doesn't exist anymore. It was destroyed in 70 AD, but now we go to Mass instead of temple because we have now the church. Does that help, Mary? All right.
Okay, Mary, don't hang up the phone because Marie wants to talk to you. Make sure we get a book to you. Thank you very much, Mary Christine. That was a delightful call. Yeah. Amariah is next from Dallas, Texas. Did I pronounce your name correctly, Amariah?
Amaria.
It sounds so much better the way you say it. Okay. Yes. And how old are you?
Eight.
You are eight. Your question, what is your question for Tim Staples?
Why won't God just defeat Satan right now?
Oh, my goodness. That's another great question, Amariah. And it is Amariah? Is that right?
Amaria, she said.
Or Amaria.
That's okay.
Amaria, that is a great question. And I think one major reason is that Jesus wants us to defeat the devil. And so what Jesus could defeat the devil right now instantaneously if he wanted to, but rather than do that, he decided to establish the church and to empower you and I through the sacraments to defeat the devil. It's kind of like if you think about it, your parents' relationship with you or my relationship with my kids. There's a temptation we have, you know, to want to just do everything for our kids, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't want my kids to suffer. I'll just do everything for them. But you know what? If your parents do everything for you and never let you do anything on your own, you become a weak person and you're not able to grow and experience your gifts so that you can become a strong person. And so that's kind of why God wants to use us to defeat the devil, because he wants us to grow up and grow strong and defeat the devil by his power working in us. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It does.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Another awesome question.
And hang on and talk to Marie. Amaria, thank you so much for that. We have to take a quick break, and so we'll let Marie, lots of folks calling, so Marie's going to have a lot of kids to talk to, and then we'll get to all those questions when we come back. Tim, I don't know if you know this, but we're going on a cruise 1 month from today.
No way.
Yeah. And so I just wanted to mention it again because we said a couple times earlier in the week, hey, this is really your last chance, like, you know, this, you know. Yeah. Get going. We're leaving in a month. And a bunch of people called the Cruise Authority or went online at the Cruise Authority, and they're coming now. So I wanted to say it again to
all
people.
Right.
We want you to come. We're going to go on a cruise from – we're going to start in Fort Lauderdale I accidentally said Orlando the other day, and Chris Check was like, you can't start a cruise in Orlando. That doesn't. Sorry,
that doesn't work.
But we're going to start in Fort Lauderdale. We're going to go all around the southern part of the Caribbean. We're going to visit Mexico, Jamaica, Bahamas. What are you talking about on the cruise? Tim will be there. He's going to give a few talks.
I am excited. I'm doing two talks. One is going to be, did Jesus have the beatific vision from the moment of his conception? And basically, it's going to be about the glories of Christology and why it's important that we understand who Jesus Christ is.
Amen.
As opposed to how he has been watered down, especially in our modern era, in the name of, we want to make him more palatable. We want to make him more relatable. So we bring him down, and in the process of bringing him down, we destroy our Christology as well as our soteriology, which I'm going to show ends up happening as well. But the other talk is going to be on the Blessed Mother, and it really dovetails because it's going to be Mary, the pinnacle of God's creation. So I'm going to show how the same is true for the Blessed Virgin Mary. And it's important we understand this because Mary is the pinnacle of God's creation. He is the perfection of God's grace in the life of a real human person. She is our hope in that sense because we see in her all the promises of God fulfilled. And so when you bring her down, similarly, the same thing happens. In the name of, well, she's just like one of us. Well, yeah, in as much as she's a human person just like we are, but when it comes to the order of grace, my friends, she's greater than all the angels and saints combined. And get ready, we are going to have us a time. And let me tell you, these talks, I've been on many, many cruises. I don't even know the number anymore. I've been on so many, and every single one of them have been life changers, Si.
Yeah.
I mean, I have people to this day that went with me in 2004 on our first Canadian cruise, 2004, that was before I was even at Catholic Answers, who are still friends of mine and contact me today. And we hear testimony after testimony of people whose lives were changed, even some non-Catholics who came on cruises that ended up Catholic, dragged along by some, okay, I'll go. You know, I mean, we've had a few of those, but we've had just tremendous numbers of Catholics who are set ablaze in their faith.
You still got time. They've got the cabins for us, and we'd love to have you come along. Just go to CatholicAnswersCruise.com. CatholicAnswersCruise.com. Get all the information there and sign up.
Who else is speaking?
Oh, well,
Carlo
Broussard is going to give a couple talks.
Chris
Check is going to give a talk or two. Father Christopher Bear, of course, will be there, and he'll be celebrating Mass with us every day, hearing confessions, that kind of thing. I'm going to give a little talk, and it's going to be about one of the greatest men of his era.
Are you going to keep it a secret?
Well,
Cary Grant.
Not Cary Grant. Pierre Toussaint.
He wouldn't be the greatest man of his era either, by the way.
He was a pretty good actor, though. But,
yes, he was.
Did you know Pierre Toussaint?
Yes.
Yeah. So, and named after the other Toussaint who led the revolt in Haiti. And Pierre Toussaint he's a surprising figure.
Well,
Venerable Pierre Toussaint.
Well, I look forward to learning because I just know a bit. I'm sure you know a whole lot more. I'm waiting.
Well, I do, Tim. I know a whole lot more, and and I'll be learning
about
a whole
everything.
Lot. Yeah, we'll take a quick break. Be right back with more of your calls if you are a child, because it is Kids Open Forum today on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
We're glad you're with us. Stick around for more Catholic Answers Live.
Encounter with Dan Demite and Patrick Rice is our new radio show for young adults.
The Holy Spirit is about a new and exciting work in the young church of today. On Encounter, we bring young adults the life-changing testimonies of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. Their testimonies bring faith and power into the lives of everyone who listens.
Encounter with Dan Demite and Patrick Rice. The spiritual awakening continues Saturday night, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Nick reminded me of what we usually call this hour, Kids Q&A. I've been saying Kids Open Forum, but it's the same basic thing. But Q&A, it's easier to know. Oh, I get to call with a question and I'm going to get an answer. And if you are a kid, you are very welcome to call 888-318-7884. Check with mom or dad or who's ever responsible for the phone today that it's okay. And then call 888-318-7884. We're giving out books to those who get through. And we'd love to give you one as well. Faith in New Hampshire. Hi, Faith.
Hi.
Whoa.
Faith, I feel like you have called before. Have you called before a few times, Faith?
Yeah.
I am so glad you keep calling. But have we given you all the books we've got? Are we going to have to write a new book so that we got something new for you?
I'm looking for the third Brendan Earth book. My dad said it won't come out in a couple of years.
Oh, well, we'll probably forget by a couple of years, so we'll give you another book this time. So Marie's got something for you, but I just want to make sure we don't send you the same book twice when you go to all the trouble to call us, Faith. All right, Faith, your question for Tim Staples.
If babies die as soon as they're born, why do they go straight to heaven?
Well, that is a great question, Faith. And the key for us is to make sure we make a distinction here, Faith. If that baby is baptized, then we know, we have infallible certainty that that baby is going straight to heaven. And the reason is the only thing that would keep a baby from heaven is original sin, right? Because a baby doesn't have personal sin, because obviously a newborn baby doesn't have the use of its intellect and will, so it can't choose to act contrary to God's will, which is what a sin is. So he or she has no personal sin, but he or she does have original sin. So if that baby is baptized, that baby goes straight to heaven, because there's no obstacle then to keep that baby from heaven. That baby would then have sanctifying grace, would be incorporated into Jesus Christ, and would be given the power of God and the righteousness necessary to go to heaven. Does that make sense, Faith?
Yeah, but what if would the same thing happen to a baby that isn't baptized?
Well, we have reason to hope. Now, here's the difference, Faith. We have the virtue of faith that tells us infallibly certain that a baby that's baptized goes to heaven, right? But if the baby is not baptized, we have reason to hope. In fact, Faith, the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us that in that case, in paragraph 1261, and I'm sure Faith's going to remember that and tell it to her mom as soon as she gets off the phone. Right, Faith? You tell your mom. Paragraph 1261 in the Catechism says that for babies who die without baptism, you know what we do? We entrust them into the hands of a merciful God who wills all to be saved. And so because of that, we know that God wills the salvation of all. We can trust him, and we can have hope. We don't have the same level of certainty because there are possibilities. I don't know if you've ever heard of this, Faith, but there's a theological conclusion that has been reached in our tradition called limbo, which is a place of, you know, perfect natural happiness that is a possibility for those who die with original sin on their souls. But we also have the hope, Faith, that that baby will go to heaven as well. But ultimately, Faith, we trust God, and we know God will do what's right.
Thank you, Faith. It was nice talking with you again.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye, Faith.
I love these voices.
I know. Nathaniel in Illinois, you are next. Nathaniel, what is your question for Tim Staples?
What message is behind the rosary?
Oh, boy. That is a fantastic question, Nathaniel. And really, there's not one message behind the rosary. There are many messages. Now, the rosary, Nathaniel, is a Marian devotion. So a great deal of it focuses on the Blessed Virgin Mary, but always in the context of her relationship with Jesus. So just as we see in the Gospel, Nathaniel, Mary always says to us, just like she said to the people at the wedding feast of Cana, do whatever he tells you to do, right? That's the life of Mary. Mary brings us to Jesus. And so all of the mysteries of the rosary. And remember, when we pray the rosary, very importantly, we say all of the prayers and the Our Fathers and the Hail Marys, we're meditating on the mysteries of our faith, right? The sorrowful mysteries, the joyful mysteries, the glorious mysteries, the luminous mysteries, all of these mysteries of the faith. So ultimately, the ultimate message of the rosary is for all of us to enter into the mysteries of our faith so that we can become better Catholics and one day join Jesus and Mary in heaven. That's the ultimate message. Does that help at all?
Yeah.
Nathaniel, I forgot to ask you how old you are. How old are you, Nathaniel?
9.
You're 9. Well, thank you very, very much for calling. Did you talk to Marie already? Is she already going to send you a book, or do you need to still talk to her?
I still need to talk to her.
Okay, so don't hang up, okay? Because Marie's going to come back, but it'll just be a minute, all right?
Okay.
All right, thanks, Nathaniel. He sounded more enthusiastic about talking to you than me. He was like, okay, all right. 888-318-7884 is the number. I want to mention the books again because these publishers give us these books, and they're very generous. Ignatius Press and Magnificat gave us the book, The Illustrated Acts of the Apostles for Children. That's one of the books we're giving away today. The Miracle of St. Nicholas by Gloria Whalen, illustrated by Judith Brown. That is from Bethlehem Books and Ignatius Press. And Saintly Rhymes for Modern Times, written and illustrated by Megan Bausch. And that is from Our Sunday Visitor. One of those books will go to each of our callers today. And we go now to a gentleman by the name of Luke. Hello, Luke. Are you there with us? Hello, Luke.
Yes.
Hi, Luke.
Hey, I recognize that voice.
You've met this Luke before?
I have.
Have you ever met Tim Staples, Luke?
Yes. In fact, I'm Luke Staples, his son.
Oh, you're his son. I see. Okay, Luke.
I know I'm in trouble when this guy calls because I guarantee his questions are going to be tough. Go ahead, Luke.
Okay, Dad, so here's the question I wanted to give. So would God have sent us the Savior even if God hadn't, even if Adam and Eve hadn't fallen?
Oh, boy. Yes, that is a great question, Luke. And, of course, there are disagreements among theologians in the church over this question. This is a matter of speculation. But I can tell you this, Luke, I tend to agree with Francisco Suarez and Duns Scotus on this one, that God would have sent the Savior if Adam and Eve had never fallen. There may be some guys down the hall who wouldn't agree, or at least one guy, who wouldn't agree with me on this one. But I do believe, and I'll tell you why, Luke, the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us as well that God destined man for the glory of heaven and the full divinization that we enjoy in if we endure till the end in Jesus Christ, even before the fall. And so I do think there's good reason to believe that God would have been incarnate. And so, Luke, that would be my answer. But again, this is not something that's definitively given to us by the church. There is a whole lot of beautiful theology that has grown out of this tradition, however.
that, you know, in Revelation chapter 12, in fact, God revealed, you know this, Luke, because you and I have talked about it, but in Revelation chapter 12, remember, Luke, we have the depiction of Mary, the cosmic woman with the crown of 12 stars on her head, the moon under her feet, and she gives birth to the Messiah in verse 4 and 5, and then to all of us in verse 17. Well, hang on, Luke, through the break, and I'm going to put a bow on this for you to give you my full answer. But I hear the music now, so we got to take a break.
We will take that break. Luke Staples, hang on. Your dad's going to finish the answer. And even if you're not related to Tim, we're taking questions from any kid today. 888-318-7884.
Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
Author Mark McNeil spent years in the Oneness Pentecostal movement, praying in its lively services, zealously spreading its unconventional teachings, and rejecting mainstream Christianity as misguided. Then he left it all behind. All in the Name is the story of a man who believed he was among an elite group of believers who followed the true faith when so many others had strayed. But an inquisitive mind, careful study, and the action of the Holy Spirit finally led Mark out of Oneness Pentecostalism and into the Catholic Church. This is an inspiring conversion story you won't want to miss. It's a faith strengthener for Catholics and an intriguing challenge to those who deny the doctrine of the Trinity. Order your copy of All in the Name today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
With the recent commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the release of Humani Vitae, there have been fresh attacks on Catholic teaching from outside and, unfortunately, inside the Church. That's why Catholic Answers thought it critical to provide a vigorous affirmation of Pope Paul VI's prophetic wisdom with our newest book, Inseparable, Five Perspectives on Sex, Life, and Love in Defense of Humani Vitae. We asked five distinguished contributors to reflect on and defend Humani Vitae from five perspectives, each of them compelling, together forming a mosaic of truth. Don't be caught uninformed when the topic comes up among friends, family, and coworkers. Order your copy of Inseparable today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or by visiting the shop at Catholic.com.
Hi, it's Deacon Harold Berg-Sivers. Get your morning cup of coffee for your soul when I join Gloria Purvis and the Morning Glory team starting Monday, January 14th. Now let's return to Catholic Answers Live.
Well, Monday, January 14th is Monday. So that means that Deacon Harold Berg-Sivers and Gloria Purvis will be the new morning team next Monday on Morning Glory. So you should tune in 7 a.m. Eastern time to hear the new team. Those are two very, very fine people. We left your son Tim. Luke. We had not tied a bow around his question.
Yes.
But let me give out the phone number for other kids. If you are a kid and you have a question about the Catholic faith, if you want to know about the Bible, if you want to know about the saints, you want to know about Jesus or the Holy Spirit or the angels or the archangels or anything at all about the Catholic faith, you can give us a call as long as you are a kid, because it's Kids Q&A today. 888-318-7884 is the number. And all right, back to Luke Staples.
Yes, Luke, are you still there?
Yes.
All right, Lukey. Well, here's the deal. So one reason, and we'll have to leave it at this for time constraints, for this understanding that the second person of the Blessed Trinity would have been incarnate even if Adam and Eve had not fallen, is there is a tradition that says, and it's very reasonable and rooted in Revelation chapter 12, Luke, that says that this revelation that you and I see and we all see in Revelation of this glorious cosmic woman, right, Mary, who gives birth to Jesus and all of us, Mother of God, Mother of the Church, and such, that same vision was given to the angels
before there was a material creation. And that was their test, like Adam and Eve's test was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Their test was God revealed to them he was going to become incarnate. That is the second person of Blessed Trinity, was going to become incarnate. And through that incarnation, and remember, when he became or was to become incarnate, he was going to become man. And man, Luke, has a very inferior nature compared to the nature of the angels. But through the incarnation, when he becomes man, he was going to, by that fact, exalt human nature even above the angels. Wow. Right? And so when God revealed this to the angels, this was his plan. Well, part of the plan was the angels were going to be what we see in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, messenger spirits sent to the heirs of salvation, right? They were going to serve these puny little humans.
Yeah, right.
Well, all of the angels of God rejoiced, or at least two-thirds of them did, except for Lucifer, because Lucifer famously says, and it's actually in sacred scripture in I think that's Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 20, non serviam, I will not serve. In other words, no, he rejected God's plan. And as a result of that, he was lifted up in his pride and such, I won't stand for this. He led one-third of the angels in a revolt. But here's the cool part, Luke. If you look at Revelation chapter 12, it's right after the revelation here of the woman clothed with the sun who's in travail to give birth that one-third of the stars fall from the sky. Where did that come from, right? Well, says Duns Scotus and Francisco Suarez, that it's because we're seeing a revelation that was given all those eons of time ago, and that became the occasion of the fall, the revelation of the incarnation. And who was front and center of this whole plan but the Blessed Virgin Mary? And this is why, Luke, the devil has a particular hatred for the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is why you see in verse 13, for example, after the devil is cast out, what does he do? He seeks after the woman. He wants to destroy her. Why? Because she's going to be the instrument whereby God's plan is going to come into effect. And this is why the devil goes after Israel. He tries to destroy them, right? Egypt and Assyria and Persia and all these empires want to destroy Israel because that's where he's going to come from, or she's going to come from. So down through the centuries, he's searching after the woman. But of course, he can never get her. And after, you know, Jesus is born, and if you look at in Revelation chapter 12, the serpent wants to devour the baby as soon as he's born, but he's protected.
Yeah.
And the woman is protected as well. And so after Jesus and Mary are taken to heaven, now what does the devil do? He seeks to destroy all of her seed. This is what Revelation 12:17 says, all of her seed. Who is that? The church.
Oh, yeah.
Us. Okay. So now he seeks to destroy all those, the seed of the woman, Mary, who have the testimony of Jesus and keep his commandments. That's Revelation 12:17. So at any rate, the bottom line is, Luke, that revelation seems to indicate that an incarnation
was in motion
before the fall, and so that plan of divinization through incarnation. Now, we don't know what it would have looked like without, you know, because obviously there would have been no cross, there would have been no bloody sacrifice,
right.
But there was still a need for divinization because as the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us, Luke, Adam and Eve were not created in their final state. They were created in what we say in Latin, Luke, in statu vie, which means in a state of journeying. As was the whole creation, it was in a state of journey. It had not yet reached its state of perfection. That was, so this theory says, going to be accomplished through the incarnation. So, Luke, you got an earful there, buddy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it definitely does.
All right, we'll talk more about it when I get home.
Luke, we're not going to mail your book to you either. I'm just going to give it to your dad. And
I'll bring it home.
He'll bring it home to you. Thanks, Luke Staples. 888-318-7884 is the number. It is Kids Q&A. If you're a kid and you got a question, any question at all about the Catholic faith, you're welcome to call. Athena in Boise, Idaho is next. Athena, are you there with us?
Yes.
Hi, Athena. How old are you?
Six.
You're six.
Wow.
All right, Athena. Thank you for waiting.
You're getting old, Athena. I'm joking.
You don't feel old yet, though, do you, at six?
No.
No. Okay, Athena. What's your question that you'd like to ask Tim?
Where and when was the first church built?
That is an excellent question. Now, I'm assuming that you're asking the first church built, meaning an actual physical structure. And it is believed that that would have been built in Jordan in about 230 A.D. So the church is actually called the Church of St. Georgius. Right? Looks like gorgeous. Right? In about 230 A.D., and it's in Jordan. And there's some debate about that. There may have been some foundations of a couple that may be earlier, but it's roughly about that. It's most commonly thought to be there in Jordan in 230 A.D. Now, but I do need to add this, that we know that the first churches were actually house churches. And we see that right in the book of Acts, in 1 Corinthians, in fact. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapters 10 and 11, especially chapter 11, St. Paul talks about how they were meeting in house churches. But what we know is they had particular houses that they consecrated as churches. And you know that because in 1 Corinthians 11, he's actually getting mad at the Corinthians because some of them were drinking before church. Can you imagine that? And he says, hey, don't you have houses to eat and drink in? Are you going to desecrate the church of God? So that indicates to us that there were particular houses that were actually consecrated as churches. But again, the first built church, most likely about 230 AD. Does that help?
Yeah.
All right.
And 230 AD, by the way, is about 1,800 years ago.
That's
a pretty long time ago.
Long time ago.
Okay, Athena?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you
God
very
bless
much.
You.
We're really happy you called.
And you know what? Thank you, Athena, and thank all the callers. You know, it's not easy to call up and ask a call when you know you're on hundreds of radio stations all across the country, and you guys are doing a great job. So get on that phone. If we've still got some time here at 888-318-7884 if you want to get on with good old Tim Staples.
And Athena Marie's already got your address, she told me, so we'll send that book out to you. We go now to Cece in Illinois. Cece, are you there?
Yes.
Did I say your name right, Cece?
What?
Did I say your name right?
Cece?
Yes.
Oh, all thank right. you. And here. How old are you, Cece?
Six.
Oh, I'm so happy you called. What is your question?
How do you become a nun?
Oh, that is a really good question. Well, Cece, I have a daughter named Rose who is 10, and she has wanted to be a nun since she was, I think, 7, is when she first said it, and she really wants to be a nun. Well, here's what you do, Cece, and I can tell you what my daughter is doing. She is already preparing right now. She is a very prayerful girl. She prays a lot. In fact, a lot of times I'll go by her room, Cece, and I'll see her on her knees praying. She has a little shrine in her bedroom that she has, you know, put up, and she likes to kneel there and pray. She's a wonderful girl, and what she has done is she's visited the Trinitarians, and she's visited the Norbertine sisters. And so over time, Cece, you're a little young at six, what happens is you start to develop kind of a kinship, or you kind of like one particular community. And that's where Rose is now. She's looking at different communities and seeing which one she likes. And then over time, let's say if her desire endures, and we don't know, who knows, Cece, what God is calling Rose to or you to, but if that desire keeps on as it is, after she graduates from high school, she will let it be known to a particular community. Hey, I believe I have a vocation, a calling to be a nun. And then you talk with the Mother Superior or whomever is in charge of like postulants or bringing in new sisters. And then you go through the particular things that you need to in order to prepare to go into that particular community. Now, one community may not be for you. The community doesn't have to accept everybody that applies either for various reasons. Maybe after the interview, maybe you go and visit for a while. They may not think you're for them. Sometimes young girls seek several different communities before they find one. But the key is, Cece, that you learn and you grow over time and you really hear the voice of God in your heart, in your soul, that still small voice, not a loud voice, hello, Cece, I'm calling you. No, but he just directs you in your heart and you have that desire. You know, I want to be a sister, like Sister so-and-so and whatnot. And then you build on that and you grow. And then, like I said, it's a matter of visiting. And then you get invited. And that's the key, is each religious order will, you know, decide, okay, we will invite you to stay. And once you go in, that doesn't mean you're going to be a nun either. There's a time where you become, you know, different orders call it different things. You're a postulant, you're a novice, you're, you know, and you kind of, you test it out to see whether the religious life is really for you. And so there's a time of testing and growing before you finally, normally there's a time of testing and then you make first vows and second vows and then final vows and that sort of thing. So it's a long but very beautiful process, Cece. And really that process starts now, and not only in your life, but all the kids that are listening right now, if you're a young boy, you should be asking God, do you want me to be a priest? Do you want me to be married? We should already be asking God, even when we're 6, 7, 8 years old, because guess what? God will tell us. Now, he usually doesn't tell you right away.
Yeah.
It takes a long time of discernment. And I'll tell you one last thing, Cece. In my own life, when I converted to the Catholic faith in 1988, I felt called to the priesthood. I had been a Protestant minister and I wasn't married. And so I went into formation for the priesthood and I spent 6 years studying for the priesthood. But then I discerned that the priesthood wasn't for me. And so I decided to leave the seminary. And that's not a bad thing. If you, you know, if you discern that you're not called to the religious life, you may go and live there for a year or 2 years or 5 years. I have a friend who was a Carmelite for 9 years and was, or 8 years, and was about to make final vows, but you know, it was discerned that no, this isn't for you. And so it's a one, the main thing I would say to you, Cece, is it's a wonderful journey of discovery, learning what God has for you. And I discovered God was calling me to apologetics. And now that I'm married with 7 kids, I think it's been confirmed.
That's what God wanted. Cece, thank you for the call. Was that helpful to you?
Yes.
Do you?
I love nuns and I really want to be one.
How beautiful. And you have nuns there in Illinois that you know?
No.
You'd like to meet some maybe?
Mm-hmm.
That would be great. I'm sure there is someone there that will help you meet some nuns, because you're right. It's easy to love nuns.
Yes.
It's pretty easy to love them.
Amen.
Cece, we've already got your address, so Marie is going to send you a book. Thank you very, very much for your call. Remember, January is Pro-Life Month, and all our pro-life books, DVDs, all the stuff is at $5 a copy. Visit the $5 pro-life category at shop.catholic.com and get your $5 pro-life materials all this month.
There's only one. Catholic Answers Live.
We
We need EWTN Radio for the reason that Mother Angelica founded this entire enterprise. She always saw this as a spiritual growth network. It was to be an enterprise in media that reached people in all aspects of their life. She saw this as a holistic approach to reaching the whole person in the middle of the world and bringing them truth and life.
Raymond Arroyo thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
A lot of people think that street evangelization involves yelling out of a bullhorn telling people that they're going to hell. Not so with St. Paul's Street Evangelization. Our methods are non-confrontational and effective. We simply offer information on the Catholic faith, along with rosaries, miraculous medals, and prayer. Pope Francis wrote about how beautiful it is to see street preachers joyfully bringing Jesus to every corner of the earth. Street evangelization is fun and fruitful. Join us today at streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Kids Q&A this hour. Tim Staples here with us. If you're a kid, we'd love to take your call. And we got a bunch of calls on the line, so I'm just going to start going through them. Chanel in Buffalo, New York, you are up next. Are you there, Chanel?
Yes.
Wow, you speak very clearly, Chanel. How old are you?
9.
And do you have a question that you'd like to ask?
Yes.
And is it a long question or... Okay, I'm just playing because I know you're going to keep saying yes if I ask yes or no questions. So go ahead and ask your question.
Okay. If the devil is real, why doesn't he give you nightmares? Or does God stop it?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, Chanel, the devil can give people nightmares. He has access, but only by God's permission. And this is the most important point, I think. Whenever we talk about the devil, Chanel, we always have to remember 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 in the Bible. I love that verse because it says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And that's referring to the devil, right? God is infinitely greater than that. Not just greater, but infinitely greater than the devil. So the devil can do absolutely nothing unless God allows him to. Now, having said that, God does sometime allow temptations and trials and tests to come into our lives. And that can include, you know, because the devil has access to our imagination. Sometimes he can put thoughts in our head or even dreams. But I love the way you said that, Chanel. Does God stop him from giving nightmares? And the answer is yes. God stops him all the time. He would like to do a whole lot more to us, but God stops him. So God will only allow something into your life or my life if God knows that ultimately it's going to bring about a greater good. This is why St. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, another really beautiful verse of Scripture, Chanel, all things work together for good for those who love God. Isn't that cool? All things work together for
good.
That is because God will not allow anything in your life that won't at least have the possibility of being turned to good if we trust him. So ultimately, the answer to your question is the reason the devil can't give you nightmares, you know, unless God permits it for some greater purpose, is because God is awesome and the devil is not. Does that make sense, Chanel?
Yes.
All right. Thanks so much for your question.
And Chanel, Marie already got your address, so you can wait. And that book will be coming to you there in Buffalo, New York. Chanel, thank you for that call. Let's go to Reed in Birmingham, Alabama. Are you there with us, Reed? Hello, Reed.
Hi.
How old are you, Reed?
8.
Yep. And you live in Birmingham, Alabama?
Yes.
I've been there. I really liked it there in Birmingham, Alabama. What's your question for Tim?
If Adam and Eve didn't sin, would there just be peace on earth?
All right, that was just a little bit hard to hear. So yes. Just for the audience, okay. If they couldn't make it out, if Adam and Eve didn't sin, would there be peace on earth?
Yes, there would. In fact, it is sin, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 12 in the Bible. It says, through the sin of one man, Adam, sin and death came upon all. So if Adam and Eve had not sinned, the disorder of sin would not have come into their lives, their natures would not have fallen, and they would not have communicated a fallen nature to the rest of us by way of original sin. So absolutely, there would be no suffering, there would be no sickness, and so forth. But, you know, unfortunately, in one sense, right, Adam and Eve sinned, and yet I want you to take this with you, Reed. We have a tradition in our church. We say it every Easter Sunday, or at the Easter Vigil anyway, on Saturday night. Oh, happy fault, right? Wow. Why do we say that? Oh, happy fault that Adam and Eve fell, for what a glorious Savior it has wrought, right? Mm-hmm. The amazing thing about being a Catholic Christian, Reed, is even though, you know, we don't rejoice in sin, we don't say, oh, I'm glad Adam and Eve sinned. No, sin is evil and it's bad. But God is so awesome that as terrible as the sin of Adam and Eve was, God has used that for the occasion to bring about a so much greater good in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we can actually say, oh, happy fault, because look at what it has wrought in Jesus Christ. And so when we trust him, we know that all of these evils are going to be turned around for good, and we will see glory beyond anything we can imagine if we continue to trust and obey him.
Reed, I'm going to say thank you because we're getting short of time, and we're going to send you that book. And there's a couple callers I want to make sure I get to. Camden in Victor, Idaho. Are you there with us, Camden?
Yeah, I am.
And how old are you, Camden?
I'm 14.
Well, thank you for calling. Your question for Tim.
How do you know that God is real and the Bible is not just a made-up story?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, number one, we can know God exists just through the natural light of reason. We know, for example, that everything in existence received its existence from something or someone else. And so the source of existence is not within the things that we see around us. Everything in creation was brought about its existence by something else. Well, reason tells us, we don't even need a Bible for this, there must be a first cause of all being that didn't receive its existence from anything else or anyone else. Why? Because if it did, it wouldn't be the source of all things. We'd have to go back further. There has to be that being, which is what we call subsistent being itself, and as such, it would be infinite being. So we can know there's a God just by using our canogans, right? We can know that there is an infinite God. But when it comes to the revelation that we have, you mentioned, not only do we know God is real, but we also know that he has revealed himself. And we could talk a lot, but unfortunately, we're running out of time, Camden. So I'll fast forward to this. We know as a historical fact, as the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us in paragraph 653, the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is an historical fact attested to not just by believers, but unbelievers, people that thought he was a demon, acknowledged he was real, unbelievers, Roman historians, Jewish historians. We know Jesus Christ was real, performed miracles, and established a church that in turn has performed miracles in every generation, proving the veracity or the truthfulness of the message and also confirming the reality of the Bible. As St. Augustine said it famously, I would not believe the gospel
except the Catholic Church moved me. That's how we know the Bible is true as well.
Camden, stay on the line. We want to make sure we get your address. I'd like to add to your books, maybe Trent Horn's Why We're Catholic. It might be helpful to you. I really apologize to Rose Staples. I didn't get to her and get
Rose,
her on.
Rose, I'll answer your question when I get home.
Yeah, you have an advantage, Rose. Thanks for joining us this week. Jesus Christ is the light of the nations, and we'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live.